Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we have Rabbi Joshua Flug, who wrote a very interesting article in the Jewish Action about Jewish law, gun control in halacha. How are you, Rabbi Flug? How's everything?
I'm very good. Thank God. How are you?
That's good. So how did they, by the way, how did they get to ask you to write this article? I mean, are you a gun-toting rabbi or what?
I'm not a gun-toting rabbi. I did give a few shiurim on this that were posted on ytorah.org. It would be that they found me through there and through other resources. I generally have an interest in discussing topics of contemporary interest in general. And so this is an issue that comes up all the time in the news. And I figured I would try to address some of the Jewish aspects of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it was a very interesting article and very topical, of course, and something which is very relevant today. I mean, you keep hearing about this a lot in the presidential debates that are going on about gun control and who's against it and who's for it and why and so on. So if you were asked by a congregant of yours or a student of yours, is the Torah in favor of gun control or not? Your answer, of course, would be, it depends. But I'm asking you the question anyway.
Well, I open the article by addressing a point where, and I'll expand upon this, when we address normal issues of Jewish law or Jewish values, we operate with a given set of facts, and then with those set of facts, we try to figure out what the halacha should be. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say, there can't be a machlokes metzius. There can't be a dispute about what the facts are. And when you approach gun control and start researching it, you see that there is sort of this dispute of facts where people on the who are pushing gun control are working with a set of assumptions that if we control weapons, we restrict weapons, we'll come up with a safer society, and people who promote, more lax restrictions on guns feel the same way, that putting guns in people's hands actually make society as a whole safer. And that's an important point before embarking on any discussion, is that you have to realize that we may not know all the facts, and I didn't mention this in the article, but that there are government restrictions that were put in place to limit funds used to study the safety of guns in people's hands, which I don't think is a very Jewish way of approaching things. And so we're not equipped with all the facts. And what I said in the article is that it may be that both studies are correct in one way or another, and that different people act differently, when guns are in their hands, and, we're going to expect a varied set of results.
Okay, that's true. You're right about that. So when you look at, let's say, after reading the article, it would seem to me that this whole idea of criminal background checks and, in order for someone to have a gun and to have a license to buy a gun, it seems to be, I would think, I could be wrong now, but it seems to be that kind of follows what the halachic view would be if regarding, let's forget about what side of the coin you're on when it comes to the debate, but to actually insist that people who do carry guns are people who are, worthy of carrying a gun and a weapon, that would seem to be a Torah concept. Am I right about that or not?
Right. That is clear. The Talmud, again, addressing a totally different time when people were much less civilized as we are now, and we don't need to go into the history of this, but the Talmud is clear that you can't sell a gun to somebody who is suspect of murdering somebody else. So, and what I mentioned in the article is that according to at least the Ran, or Beni Nissim, this applies even to somebody who's not, let's say, headed towards, who doesn't have established pattern of using weapons for violent crimes, but even if they're involved in other sorts of felonies, they will eventually use that gun for a violent purpose if they were, you know, if they were put into a situation where it was necessary. So I think it's clear from the Talmud that we have to at least filter out that group of people, and background checks is the modern day equivalent of that filtering process.
Okay, so that was good. I mean, I read that in the article. It seemed to be pretty clear that you can do that. What about if someone feels the kind of people who can carry a weapon? I mean, is it someone who feels threatened? Is that what it is? And or they're in a profession where, you know, there's danger because maybe they're, you know, I don't know. I mean, I remember traveling, you know, with people who were in the diamond industry and how they would be so fearful about, you know, people knowing what they had. And so, I mean, what's the criteria for the kind of person that would be allowed to actually carry a gun?
Well, you have to get past that hurdle. You have to make sure, and we have to look at it from two different perspectives. The main article really addresses more public policy and how people as a whole, meaning whether you're talking about whether this affects somebody who works for the government or even the voter who's considering this as one of the issues that they're going to vote for. So public policy is one area. So you have to figure out, you know, what the policy should be that would keep us safest. But then on an individual level, and that I addressed in that sidebar, in terms of I, as an individual, I know that I'm not going to use a gun for a violent crime. I want to use it for protection or even for whatever I want to use it for. I'm not going to. So what are the considerations that I have to follow there? And if I'm a law-abiding citizen, I don't plan on using a gun for a violent crime. There's nothing wrong with me purchasing one as long as I can do it in a safe way. So that means locking it up properly and also knowing the protocols of how to use it in a case where I might need to use it. Because if I'm not educated and I'm not trained in using a gun, it could do more harm than good in carrying it.
Right. That's true, right? And what about, does the Talmud or any of the post-game war, do they ever discuss anything about that if you have a gun, your responsibility, or a weapon, you know, is the responsibility you have in your home to make sure that it doesn't get in the wrong hands or accidentally, you know, be used by kids or whatever it is and so on? Is that ever discussed at all?
Well, the Torah talks about a mitzvah putting a makeh, putting a fence around the roof of one's house, and the rabbis generally assumed that it wasn't limited to a fence, but anything dangerous in one's house. The Rambam states this explicitly, that if you have dangerous items in your house, they have to be either removed from the house or secured in such a way that it's not going to lead to any sort of harm. So if somebody has cleaning chemicals that are dangerous if ingested, so adults are not going to ingest it, and older children are not going to ingest it, but if you have little kids, you have to secure them in such a way. That's part of this mitzvah. Whether it's a positive mitzvah or a negative mitzvah, that's the subject of a debate, but there's some sort of mitzvah to make sure that those dangerous items that are in your house are secured, and the same would apply to a gun.
That's very interesting. You know, I never really looked at it that way. Everyone knows about putting up the fence, but you've taken it now and explained it in a very, very nice way, which I think people will understand, that anything you have, I mean, the reason you're putting up a fence is because you don't want someone accidentally to fall down or fall off the roof. So the same thing would apply over here. Very, very nice. That was very, very good, by the way, because it was a question that I know people ask me sometimes about it, and I think you a very good explanation, and I like it. Thank you very much. What about, does the Torah talk at all about an age when a person is allowed to bear weapons, or is that at bar mitzvah? Is it chinuch? Is it, you know, I mean, is it, Is there any age, you know, specification at all?
I'm not sure if there's a discussion about age. There is discussion in the Gemara about handing a torch to a child if somebody is not, not mentally mature enough to handle a fire, and then the child goes and torches something, and whose responsibility it falls under. I think the working assumption there is that the adult who gave him the torch shouldn't have done so. But other than that, I'm not sure if there's a specific discussion about the age of giving a weapon to somebody. I think it's somewhat subjective based on their ability to deal with it properly. And like I said before, if you give somebody who's untrained or even if not untrained but doesn't lack the emotional maturity to know when and when not to use it, that could be a very dangerous thing.
Right. Is there any difference between men and women, by the way, the Torah, or is it basically the same?
There is a prohibition in the Torah against the way the Torah formulates it, against a woman carrying, weapons that are designated for men. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about a woman who was in Israel, to carry a handgun, where he is lenient in that regard, because the prohibition in general is weapons were generally worn, so to say, by men and not by women, so that would fall under the prohibition of wearing clothing of the opposite gender. Rav Moshe Feinstein felt that it would not apply to a handgun.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's very, very interesting. And what about hunting? I mean, does the Torah talk about Jews hunting? Are they allowed to be hunters?
There is a responsum of Rav Yechezkel Landau in Ovi Yehuda where he talks about hunting. He raises a few different issues in terms of the prohibition, the potential prohibition against hunting. He talks about self-endangerment, which I actually referenced in the article, although it didn't really relate back to hunting. And he talks about whether killing an animal is a violation of Tzar Bali Chaim, the prohibition against causing and pushing on animals. But at the end, towards the end of that piece, he writes that hunting is something which is not a particularly Jewish, it's not consistent with Jewish values. And he notes that Esav was a hunter and Nimrod was a hunter, and it's not something that Jews, it's not a leisure activity that Jews should be engaged in.
I see. Okay. That's interesting. Well, the whole article is just very, very fascinating and so topical based upon everything going on today. And, I think people are really going to enjoy it. But I try to ask some questions that I thought that, as I read the article myself, these are questions that came about as I read the article. So, as I said, that's really the purpose of the interview. Hopefully, people maybe have more questions. I'll ask you and send you some questions. But we thank you very much for writing the article. And I know it's not the first time you've written for the Jewish Action, and hopefully you'll write more articles, and we look forward to your Divrei Torah. So thank you so much for coming on the program. I sincerely appreciate it. Okay, have a wonderful day.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.